Luke chapter 11. In verse 1, it reads, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.'" Why pray? For most of us, the answer is because we want God to step into this life in a supernatural way. Could be for healing, or wisdom, direction, maybe even salvation. But we pray because we want God to act. And often we want Him to act in a way that we can see and understand. Here that I kind of have this theological debate within myself. If I believe that prayer changes things, then why should I pray anything more than one time? Isn't my continually going to God in prayer about the same spiritual issue a lack of faith? I sometimes ask myself that. But then I think about the ministry of Jesus and of John the Baptist. In Luke chapter 18, we read that Jesus tells a parable about why we should pray and not lose heart. We know this parable as either the unjust judge or, by the other moniker, the persistent widow. And we learn in this parable to keep on praying by reading about a judge who was not nice to a widow. And I share that because as we think about what it means to be a disciple, prayer becomes a part of our life. As we work to make disciples, we must realize that we cannot make disciples for Christ unless we live as a disciple of Christ. We look tonight at one of the things that disciples do, and that is pray. So it is in Luke's record that unfolds for us tonight this teaching in Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. One of the things that we probably have missed and failed to notice about the disciples, and it is what they wanted to learn. And if you think about it for a moment, these guys traveled with Jesus all throughout Palestine. They ate with him. They slept with him. Or where he slept, they listened to him teach one-on-one and also to teach to crowds. They also saw him calm the storms, heal the sick, cast out demons, restore sight, heal the lame, and yet, with all these things, it is never, ever recorded once in the Bible where they asked Jesus to teach us how to do miracles or teach us how to tell parables. You know, Jesus didn't just pray on occasion. Jesus was one who prayed often. Another hero for these disciples was John the Baptist. And the one thing that both Jesus and John had in common was the fact that they both spent time in prayer. Jesus, teach me to pray. John taught his disciples, and we have all learned how to pray from the time that we were children. The praying that we do within our families, the praying that we do when we gather together. But we truly should want to learn how to pray like Christ. So here Jesus teaches them about prayer, but he helps them to understand what to pray for. This prayer that I selected out of Luke chapter 11 is the shorter version than what is recorded in Matthew chapter 5. But listen to verses 2 and 4. And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Lead us not in temptation." Now, what should prayer be for us? Oftentimes, our prayers are petitions. But in essence, praying is us connecting to God's will. And we start this with the realization that God is holy. And because we do this, it puts us into that very perspective from the start. But not only is God holy, but his kingdom is what we need to cherish. In God's kingdom is wherever God reigns. We see the kingdom on earth in the church. The church family is extremely important to God, and therefore it is important to us. So we pray for us. We are saved. We have been forgiven our sins through the blood of Christ. We have been cleansed and made whole. And it should be our desire to live with that type of love for others that God has given to us. But here Jesus also prays for the future and temptations that every one of us face. So we ask God to direct our path so that we don't walk in the ways of the wicked. That is leading us not into temptation, for God will never do that as long as we allow him to direct our paths. An effective prayer is the one that is centered on God. It seeks God to always lead and to lovingly accept all that God gives. It focuses on the spiritual. But prayer does not neglect the physical. You see, Jesus did not stop there. Jesus was teaching these men to pray effectively. And so he does what he does often. He tells a story. In verses 5 through 8 of chapter 11, and he said to them, "Which of you has a friend who will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey,' and he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." Jesus is telling us that we need to go to God boldly. We have this kind of idea, human idea, of what being bold is. But in this sense, boldly is not being demanding, but seeking God. And being bold means that we are not afraid to ask, that we are not afraid to talk to him. reminds me of Abraham boldly talking to God about how many righteous people needed to live in Sodom before God would destroy that city. That account is in Genesis 18. And we have Abraham starting with 50 people, and then 40, and then 30, and then 20, and then 10. Now that's being bold, but it's not being demanding. That we can be bold with God, not disrespectful, but passionate and open, just like this man did with his friend. Jesus isn't comparing God to a sleepy, selfish, and angry neighbor. What he's actually doing is contrasting the two. He's telling his disciples is that if a neighbor can, on the basis of friendship and social etiquette, be persuaded to meet the needs of a friend, how much more will God meet our needs? Let's continue in Luke 11, verses 9 and 10. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. In all of our lives, reading the Bible, looking at the life of Jesus, when he taught his disciples to pray, Jesus did not teach words. He taught heart. He taught them that prayer was not simply something you did, but something you sought. What God is looking from us is this whole ask, seek, and knock aspect from us. The idea behind what Jesus is teaching is God is okay with persistence. He who seeks finds. But find what? What are they looking for? They seek and they find God. But where do they knock? They knock on their own door for their own wants and desires. No. They knock on God's door, and he opens that door. So for us, we must seek. Knock, so we can ask. And Jesus finishes this teaching with helping us to see God rationally. Verses 11 through 13. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give instead of a fish a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We need to understand that God is not just a being who saves and destroys. God is our Father. And a good father will not do anything that would bring harm to his child. And Jesus uses that to say God never does anything that would bring harm to us. Sometimes we don't get what we ask for. Maybe it's because God knows what's best for us. And I hope that is something that we truly believe in. Is prayer about us seeking God's will for our life? Or do we try to use it to seek our will instead of God's? Now, God's eager to respond to us who ask, who are persistent, who keeps on knocking with our needs and requests. We need to learn to be the disciple who takes the time to be with the Father. We need to be the kind of disciples who prays with faith in God and desires to live out God's will and not ours. And we need to be the disciple who knows that prayer is more than a Christmas wish list. It is our time together to commune and fellowship with our Creator. We do have a God who listens. And so, because He is that, then we need to spend our time with Him in our prayers. If there is anyone here this evening who is in need of our prayers, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. You haven't been walking the way you should. The time to clear that slate is tonight. If you are not a child of God, if you have not obeyed the gospel, if you have not put on your Lord and Savior in baptism, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. And we pray that you will not delay. If there's any that has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.